This is an interview made with Owen Jensen. I'm not absolutely certain of the date, but I think it was around about 1970 on his one of his numerous Music Ho programs.
This is the YSC program. We present a further program in our series featuring New Zealand composers, introduced by Owen Jensen.
When Edward Hanslick, the famous 19th century music critic, was an old man, he was asked why he still went on writing music criticism. Didn't he dread the prospect of the new season's concerts, recitals, and operas? He was asked. On the contrary, he said. The critic, he explained, has the advantage of constant exposure to new materials. Not a year passes, he said, but that the sources of artistic creation bring us a golden nugget or two or three. Well, gold nuggets in the way of new music are to be found in New Zealand, too. Some of them, are in tonight's program of the music of four young New Zealand composers. Four new composers with the ball at their feet and a future, their future, ahead of them. Where they will be, where their music will be in 20, 50 or 100 years' time, doesn't matter. Enough that here are four lively people prospecting, discovering, enriching themselves and music with skill and imagination. Four composers still in their mid-20s. John Cousins, he's on the music staff of the University of Canterbury, and Dorothy Buchanan, they're both of Christchurch. Lyle Cresswell, a Victoria University of Wellington graduate music student, and Jack Boddy, a graduate of the University of Auckland. John Cousins, his music we will look at first. John Cousins was born in Wellington in 1943. After primary schooling in Lower Hutt, he went to the New Plymouth Boys High School. He graduated Bachelor of Music with Honours at the University of Canterbury in 1965. Now, one of the young composers' problems today may be where to make a landing in the wide landscape of 20th century music. And so, talking to John Cousins, I asked him, with all the pressures on the up-and-coming composer, did he feel he had to be modern?
I think there's a danger in being modern. And anyway, everybody has their own idea about what modern is.
That's what I was going to put as a corollary. What is modern?
Well, I think modern really stems from sincere expression. For example, if I write a piece sincerely, then it's modern because it's written by me and I happen to be living now.
I think that's the best answer. But what will determine are the many styles available as a vocabulary today which you will use. Will this vocabulary be something that you feel within yourself or something which you feel has got to be in terms of your audience?
No. I don't think about the audience at all. I don't think one can. You only have to look at historical perspective to see this.
Well, for you, today is almost tomorrow, composing-wise. How are you going to compose for tomorrow? For instance, you can see trends taking place towards electronic music and so forth. What are you going to do about it?
I'm just going to sit back and let whatever happened happen. You see what I mean?
Take it as it comes.
Yes, that's the only way, as far as I can see. There's far too much grasping at straws and taking hold of the latest influence and utilising it for the greatest possible effect, etc., etc. The only way a composer can work is through his intuition. And consequently, there's a kind of a delayed effect if he's going to be sincere. He's got to take in all of the influences he possibly can, all of the very latest influence, and then he's just got to wait and see what happens.
Let it flow out.
That's right.
Is it necessary, or do you feel yourself it necessary in order to confirm in yourself what you want to do, to be a rebel, to be a demonstrator musically?
Well, I should like to be very much. Particularly nowadays, it seems one gets all the glory if one's a rebel.
And but do you want glory?
No, not at all. Anyway, that's not the word. No, I'm sure ego has a lot to do with composing. I'm sure most artists are driven a great deal by their ego, because they must think that what they've got to say is going to mean something to someone else.
Well, in New Zealand, with New Zealand composers, composing doesn't seem to be, if I may put it this way, in the blood. So many of them are dilettantes. Now, I don't mean in the style they write, but their desire or lack of desire to write. Now, how strongly do you feel about composing?
Well, very strongly. composing has got me.
You're hooked?
Yes, I am, definitely. I know that I'm not a good composer and probably never will be, and...
Well, that's the only way to become a good composer is to know that, of course, that you're not a good...
Well, it could be, yeah. Too. But it's something that you do, just like smoking or anything else. You just do it. You mightn't
do
it for a long
harm.
Time. No, well, I don't know. It does have repercussions, especially if you're married.
Are you married?
Yes.
Oh, well, I see. But it's not a question of you of earning money from it, or...
No, this is what I try to explain to my wife.
it's just doing it.
Yes, it is. I'm very lucky in that I can do it most of the time and still live. And this is a pretty unusual situation, and I don't intend to let it slip by.
As a member of a university staff, do you feel that composing is necessary, that it is a good thing that you should be a composer?
Well, I'd sort of be slating myself if I said that this wasn't so. I feel it helps me to teach with more perspective and with more understanding. Certainly, to look at other people's compositions with more understanding.
And surely students have more respect for someone who is, as it were, a workman in his own right of composition.
Well, I think they take what you have to say with a little bit more thought.
I haven't used that word. I've avoided it now, up to now. I use the word workman, or the old-fashioned one, if you like, craftsman. I haven't used the word creative artist. How do you feel about the difference between the two?
Well, really, they're the same. And it's the old fallacy of the composer on his pedestal. I mean, this is just a lot of bunkum. Composers have ideas just like anybody else. Anybody else.
And they just put them down.
That's right.
And having ideas, what are your special aspirations as a composer?
Well, just to write. I find, in retrospect, and I think a composer can only judge his progress by looking back at what he's done, not trying to say what he's going to do, because he can't. But looking back, there's not much to look back on yet, but it seems to stem from an awareness of what's happening to the people around me. Lots of social commentary and mixed up angry young man feelings that I just can't help at the moment. Music seems to come from reading poetry a lot. Poetry seems to stimulate music in me a great deal.
This is a very interesting point. Reading what sort of poetry? Musical poets like Dylan Thomas, whom I feel you can't set to music because the music's already there.
Well, that's right. Dylan Thomas has just got to be Dylan Thomas,
I think.
But poets like Cummings, for example, is one. And also Horrible Verses, which I scribble myself, which I find are the best things for me to set. I have great difficulty in finding poetry that moves me. Blake does.
So the best thing is to write it yourself?
I'm afraid it is, yes.
And do you feel any compatibility between the visual arts and music?
Not so much the visual arts. Poetry, yes. Painting, there's an obvious explicit relationship, but it doesn't move me as much as the relationship between poetry and music.
And to the question I asked you a little while ago, which we've been talking around, what are your special aspirations? There's also the point, is there any special sort of music you write, as writing it for a string quartet, a symphony orchestra, or...?
No, I think small chamber groups are the best medium to write for. I sort of have got a sort of a Mahlerian
complex.
Yeah. Well, no, not complex. I admire Mahler very much, and I'd like to write a large work like the St. Luke Passion. But I don't think... Yes, but I don't think that's me. I think I'm more of a miniaturist, and I think a lot can be said in one note.
And you think the future lies in the one note, in the miniature?
I think it does. Very much, especially now with all these textual innovations of Penderecki and Ligeti. I don't think that sort of music can sustain a large structure. I don't think the St. Luke Passion works as a large work. On record, I'm sure, as a visual aspect, it's magnificent and would hold the audience. But as a piece of music, I don't think it stands up. It sags badly.
Yes, I would agree with you there. And so we get back to what do you think in terms of Webern?
I think of a combination of the lot, of course,
yes.
But a combination that stems from intuitive cooking in the composer. Obviously, there must be someone around, and he'll come eventually, who can take the latest innovations and make something of the lot, something new. I'm certainly not the person, but I think that's the way that I'll go in that direction.
25-year-old John Cousins, a modest man, an accomplished musician. That's what composing means to him.